atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues. This is the broadcast for August 17th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is indeed hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live. And, man, we've got a dear old friend coming back on your radio this time, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Jerome Corsi is back with us, and he wrote an incredible new book, ladies and gentlemen, The Truth About Energy, Global Warming, and Climate Change, Exposing Climate Lies in an Age of Disinformation. You want to learn more? DrJeromeCorsi.com is where you go. And, sir, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live. It's been a while.
It's been a while, Sam. I'm glad to be back with you. Thank you.
Oh, man, your book is a blockbuster, sir. Now, I want to go back to your book on oil really quick as well, because I think it's related. The Great Oil Conspiracy, how the U.S. government really pulled this off. Talk about that for a second, then we'll move into your current book.
Well, I was able to. That's a book I wrote a few years ago. That was my second book on oil. I also did Black Gold Stranglehold in 2005. And what I've been arguing in both of those books was that oil is abiotic. It's not fossil fuel. It's made by the earth and the mantle of the earth on an ongoing basis, still being made today. Not old dinosaur soup or biological or organic material of any kind. And the Nazis knew this because that's what the great oil conspiracy is about, the second book, because the German chemists in the Weimar Republic, Germany had a lot of coal, but it did not have any oil. And so the chemists figured out how to synthesize oil. In other words, they learned how to take coal and make it into petroleum products, aviation fluid, diesel fuel, gasoline, etc. And they were successful. The equations they came up with are called the Fischer-Tropsch equations, Fischer-Tropsch, and they explain how oil is naturally made, and the conditions are all in the mantle of the earth. And there's been scientific research, including these hydrotherms that come up out of the bottom of the ocean that exude hydrocarbon fuels, hydrocarbon gases. Now, the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute has studied these hydrotherms and written in Science that the hydrocarbons coming out from the mantle of the earth are being produced by the Fischer-Tropsch process. So to make a long story short, the Nazis had Fischer-Tropsch plants in World War II that were making synthetic petroleum products. That's largely how the Nazis had the fuel to run the war. Anyone knows the history, the Battle of the Bulge, the Nazis still had lots of Panzer tanks, but they ran out of diesel fuel, and they couldn't move the tanks. That's what the Battle of the Bulge was largely about, that and getting to Antwerp to block our supplies. But the Battle of the Bulge failed on the Nazis because in 1944-45, they were running out of fuel, and the tanks got stalled. And we bombed those Fischer-Tropsch processes plants during World War II, which was one of the major reasons we beat Nazi Germany in World War II, and that's been documented in the strategic bombing surveys, which I also got in the archives, and that second book is all about abiotic oil.
The reason that I bring that up as a precursor to today's book and discussion is that sets the stage for the dishonesty they're foisting on the world under this climate change lie, right?
That's correct, because again, Sam, there are so many lies told about energy and climate. I'll just give you a couple of facts that kind of start the discussion. We're told that carbon dioxide is the driver of the Earth's warming period, and that we're going through an unprecedented warming period. Well, that's nonsense. I mean, first of all, The Earth has been around 4.6 billion years. We've gone through repeated ice ages and warming periods, and 80% of the Earth's history, all the Precambrian, there was no life on the surface of the Earth. All the life has been since the last, say, 500 million years. 500 million years ago, there was much more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. 175 million years ago, there were 7,500 parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Today, there's only 400 parts per million carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Now, the global warmers say, well, it's doubled since the Industrial Revolution. That's right. There was originally, when the Industrial Revolution started, say, in the 1700s, there was 200 parts per million. The truth is that the Earth had got less carbon dioxide in the atmosphere today and is cooler than ever in Earth's history. And these temperature variations over 1 or 2 years don't mean anything in time series analysis. If you go back millions of years ago, you'll find ice ages with huge amounts of carbon dioxide because they're driven by the sun. You know, the key fact, go outside, that big yellow thing in the sky is not a tree ornament. The sun heats Earth. And when the Earth, with its elliptical orbit, not like a circle, but like an egg, elliptical, when it gets most elliptical, most far from the sun, but every 100,000 years, that's when we have an ice age, and it has nothing to do with the amount of carbon dioxide in the Earth.
It has everything to do with the sun, ladies and gentlemen. And the problem is they're not following the science. They're using propaganda to peddle the porn of climate change, ladies and gentlemen. And the way you dispute this, Dr. Jerome Corsi's book is masterful at this. But here's the deal. We examine the scientific evidence of atmospheric CO2 concentrations over the history of geological time. This is something people need to understand, geological time, because it puts things in perspective, Dr. Corsi.
That's an extremely important point, Sam, because we, you know, may live 100, maybe 100 some years old. That's, the Earth is 4.6 billion years old. We've had five massive extinctions where almost everything on the surface of the Earth died, like 80% of all living creatures, and there were no human beings around. The Earth is it's not stable. It's subject to cataclysmic events. When the dinosaurs were extinct 65 million years ago, and by the way, the dinosaurs were here for 100 million years. We've been here barely 10 million years. So when you look at the extinction, there were cataclysmic events. A massive asteroid, miles wide, hit in the Yucatan, which is in the Gulf of Mexico, in Mexico, and caused a tsunami all the way up to North Dakota, killing everything in its path. Now, today on the Discovery Channel, you'll find the scientists in North Dakota who are looking at the strata of geological rock from the day of that asteroid hitting, and they're finding fish fossils with wood through them, fish that were never there in North Dakota. It was a massive killing episode. Secondly, we had over 1,000 years of volcanic activity in India and that whole area, which threw huge amounts of sulfur dioxide into the atmosphere, blocking much of the sun, that largely ended photosynthesis on Earth. The dinosaurs lived on largely plants. I mean, you know, Tyrannosaurus was pretty terrifying and was a meat eater, but most of the dinosaurs lived on plants. Their food source went away. And then there's excellent evidence that the Earth expanded. I mean, the Earth, you know, the plate theory that all the continents were in one big group and the sea in another and the continents broke apart. Well, that kind of a planet would spin out of orbit, because its axis of mass would not be coincident with its axis of rotation. If the continents broke up because the Earth grew bigger, like taking a tennis ball and popping it up to the size of a softball, the fuzzy parts became the continents. And the dinosaurs in a larger Earth with more mass was too much gravity, and these creatures were too big to structurally function in bigger gravity. You know, when we go up in the moon, Neil Armstrong, we bop around like bunny rabbits because we're too big for that structural environment. You know, we pop around. But the dinosaurs were in lesser gravity, could be larger creatures and were perfectly adapted. Gravity increases. These big dinosaurs with the long necks couldn't raise their heads off the ground.
So,
that's how changeable Earth is. Not a little bit more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. What causes massive Earth changes are events that are massive in energy, are cataclysmic, occur suddenly, maybe 10 million years. Dinosaurs took 10 million years to go away. It wasn't overnight. But 10 million years in a planet that's 4.6 billion years is kind of like a day.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We're not debating that there's change. Okay, what we're concerned about is how governments around the globe capitalize on this change, dishonestly manipulate science for political reasons. So in this incredible book by Jerome Corsi, the first four chapters are really dealing with the politics of energy, global warming, and climate change, and kind of highlights at the end of World War II, they wanted population reduction. And this is where it all kind of starts in their beliefs politically about the planet. So it's a political discussion we're having that brings up our great concern, where we say they're not telling the truth. They're not being honest. They're literally propagandizing the narrative. Jerome R. Corsi will continue to break down in seconds the truth about energy, global warming, and climate change. And you know what? We're going to tell the climate lies. We're going to bring you honest, scientific-backed information, and we'll do it in seconds on your
radio.
Have
you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty, and with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, my guest today, Jerome Corsi. We're talking about his new incredible blockbuster book, The Truth About Energy, Global Warming, and Climate Change. You want to learn more about what he's doing? He's written over 25 books, ladies and gentlemen, three of them literally on the climate, if not more. DrJeromeCorsi.com, DrJeromeCorsi.com, for you to go ahead and learn more about it. But he wrote Black Hole Stranglehold. He wrote The Great Oil Conspiracy. And now this new book that really examines the scientific evidence using geological time, ladies and gentlemen. That's critical to understand, because if you just take a tiny snapshot, you can manipulate the data to say anything you want to. And that's where the lies begin. Now, the foreword of this book was written by Mark Morano. Do you want to mention that really quick, Jerome?
Yeah, Mark has been my good friend since about 2004, when I first worked on Unfit for Command, the Swift Boat book with John O'Neill. And Mark runs ClimateDepot.com. He's been the long-term warrior in this. He's fought for climate truth. He understands that this is a political agenda, and it's a radical Marxist agenda. It's not about saving the planet. And he's a warrior. He wrote the introduction to it, and he's supporting me with articles that I'm writing now on ClimateDepot.com. But the point, Sam, you got exactly right what this book is about. You really understand it. Thank you. The first four chapters are the politics, and I show that after World War II, the environmental movement, you know, which was a legitimate concern that we shouldn't abuse the planet, that we should clean up pollution, that we should do things right in terms of
agriculture. God says we should be stewards of the earth, right? So
yes.
We agree with that point. The problem is that it runs off the rails.
Well, then the Malthusians got a hold of it, like Paul Ehrlich in the 60s, and said that, you know, population bomb, we're using the resources of the earth. We're going to eventually run out of natural resources. There's too many people. We need to get rid of all this population, maybe half as many, maybe only a third as many people could be supported by Earth. Well, it's nonsense. But then it got taken over by the Marxists, because they came and said, well, you know, if only we can show people that by using carbon dioxide, because hydrocarbon fuels emit carbon dioxide, we could have a catastrophic climate change. John Holdren came up with this idea. He was one of the proponents of it. He became the science czar for Obama. And by the way, this whole idea then, they thought first it was going to be, first they said global warming in the 70s. First they said global cooling. We have a new ice age. Well, then suddenly the Earth started getting warmer again. The Earth changes hot, cold, and fluctuations that are fairly meaningless in time series analysis statistically. And we were going through a very warm period in the 1930s and 40s, much warmer than today. That's when the Dust Bowl was formed, much more drought than today. And then it got cooler again. Then it got warmer again in the after the 70s, in the 80s, 90s. And so they went to global warming. But the whole idea was if you could demonize carbon dioxide as a greenhouse gas, it's only a trace element in the atmosphere. It's less than 0.04% of all the atmosphere. Its greenhouse gas effects are almost so small compared to water vapor and other greenhouse gases that it can't be measured.
And let's be clear, they know this fact, Dr. Kirsten. That's something to understand.
They know it. They change. These are good scientists. They're brilliant scientists, but they twist the scientific data. In my book, I try to show you how, so you're not fooled by it. But the point is, if they could demonize carbon dioxide because hydrocarbon fuels emit carbon dioxide, they could get rid of hydrocarbon fuels. They knew if we abandoned hydrocarbon fuels, we would end capitalism. We'd have a much lower standard of living. They could convince us to walk into our own suicide. They could kill half or two-thirds of the population of the world by starving us of the energy we need to survive with populations this large or to prosper and grow.
It's a sinister plan, ladies and gentlemen, and the whole politics of this, the details are broke down in the first four chapters of this book, talking about from World War II, it started with population control, and then it literally dovetailed into they lied and said we've got a cooling going on. That was somewhat true, but then they came and said, well, wait a minute, now we got warming, and the bottom line is they're really being led around by the nose on this. You got to ask, what is the Solyndra syndrome? Because that kind of helps people understand, right?
Yes, I read a whole chapter on the fact that Biden is doing today, funding this, and I can't believe they call it an Inflation Reduction Act, which is absolutely, it gives used car salesmen a good name, what they've just labeled this law. But the point is, the Solyndra syndrome, Obama spent billions of dollars on funding solar and wind power. Solyndra was one big company. Joe Biden, as vice president, went out and gave Solyndra their $535 million federal loan guarantee. Peter Schweitzer, the Government Accountability Act, said about 80% of the money, of the billions of dollars that Obama spent on green energy in the 2009 Recovery Act went to the key people on his 2008 Presidential Finance Committee. He gave the money to his buddies who funded him. And the projects all went bankrupt. The money was lost. The federal government, the taxpayer money was spent and wasted. The projects closed down, and no one went to prison. And the solar panels that they bought, which China undercut, the wind turbines, which were bought in all these Obama projects, the cylinder syndrome, are now lying unused as rusted junk.
And, now round two on the failure, ladies and gentlemen. Listen,
starting
round
again,
two
be the same.
Is going to be
yes.
this, what's this thing called? The Inflation Reduction Act, right?
Yes, Inflation Reduction Act. We're going to spend another almost $400 billion again on green energy. And by the way, what's green about solar energy? I thought the sun was yellow. And what's green about wind? I don't see any color to wind. But the green is a propaganda. It means, oh, these are good. Green is good. It's, you know, it's the earth and it's grass and it's green and it's oil is ugly. It's dirty. It's polluting. These are all ideological propaganda terms. We can burn hydrocarbon fuels much more cleanly than was done in the 1950s when we used to have smog from car exhaust. We have catalytic converters. We've got a lot of processes right now that burn gasoline clean. We can do that with all the hydrocarbons. They're abundant. We don't run out. President Trump proved that I was right about that. When everybody said that we were running out of oil, President Trump made the United States a leading international exporter of oil and natural gas, and the gas companies reduced the prices because they were allowed to go get the available supply and make it available to people where we could live with abundant energy in a productive economy. What's happening now is we've got hyperinflation with all the money being spent intentionally. People are going to have to choose between feeding the kids and putting gasoline in the car, or they are being invited to buy $60,000 electric vehicles, which you've got to plug in for 4 hours to make work fully. And in fact, so this new Inflation Reduction Act gives a $10,000 tax benefit to buy a electric vehicle. Well, some of the electric vehicle companies just raised their prices $10,000. So, you know, I mean, this is a scam. And I attended a debate in New York on this issue. The people in New York voted against the climate change because they've lived through the blackouts, including 2019. New York City dies without cheap electricity, but it's got blackouts from the fact that solar and wind are not reliable. How are these people in the skyscrapers going to live? How is New York City going to function in the dark? That's what the globalists want. People dying. We have bad flu. Let's lock down and destroy the economy. We've got a energy crisis. We're all going to die. Our children say, "We're mommy, daddy, you're ruining my future by putting that ugly gasoline in your car." That kind of a lie and propagandizing of the children will go to these renewables. We'll all be stuck with vehicles that don't work and an economy that doesn't work. And pretty soon they'll go after our food supply. And the intent is to destroy capitalism, demonize hydrocarbon fuels because carbon dioxide is killing us all, which is ludicrous. A trace element, barely measurable in terms of its greenhouse gas effect. And so, you know, this is completely selling a lie, which Hitler proved you could do, and Marx and Mao proved would enslave a people, and the neo-Marxists who are now running our country are doing it again.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jerome Corsi with us. Incredible scientific reality check on your radio. We're going to talk right after the pause about Chapter 5 of the book called Sun Heats Earth. What is the Russian scientific evidence that the sun is the major driving factor of Earth's temperature changes? The science is clear. We'll talk about it with Dr. Corsi in seconds.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Attorneys for Lori and Chad Daybell, charged with conspiracy to kill their children in Idaho and steal their Social Security benefits, asked a judge on Tuesday to send the case back to the grand jury because they say the indictment is confusing. Arizona charges against Lori are on hold for now. People in Arizona and Nevada are facing unprecedented water shortages on the Colorado River. The Bureau of Reclamation said Tuesday there will be less water available next year from the river that serves 40 million people in the West and Mexico. Syria's foreign minister denied Wednesday it's holding a U.S. journalist, Austin Tice, or other Americans after President Biden accused the Syrian government of detaining him. Wyoming Representative Liz Cheney loses her re-election campaign in a blowout to lawyer Harriet Hageman Tuesday. USA Radio News.
Make money doing what you love. It can be done. Matter of fact, it has been done. Consider the story of Jack London. He's one of the highest paid writers of all time. Authored The Call of the Wild, recently released as a blockbuster movie starring Harrison Ford. Jack grew up in a rough neighborhood in Oakland, poor, uneducated, and a school dropout. As a child, Jack fell in love with the idea of being a writer. The notion that an uneducated, dirt-poor school dropout from Oakland could someday be a published writer was insanity. You know the rest of the story, though. Jack London became one of the richest writers of all time. Discover Jack's secret that allows anyone of any income or educational level to make money doing what they love. Whatever it is you love more than anything else, let's make that your prosperous living. Go right now to discoveringjack.com. That's discoveringjack.com. His secret is free. Just go to discoveringjack.com. Discoveringjack.com.
Planned Parenthood, the nation's leading health care and abortion provider, plans to spend a record $50 million ahead of November's midterm elections, pouring money into contests where access to abortions will be on the ballot. The group's previous election advertising buy was $45 million back in 2020. As the CDC dropped COVID-19 restrictions in America, Disney Cruise Lines won't ease their restrictions until next month.
Disney Cruise Line is loosening some of its COVID-19 restrictions. The cruise line says starting September 2nd, vaccinations won't be required for guests under 11 years old if they're sailing out of the United States or Canadian ports. However, testing will continue to be required for all guests. The change is to be implemented less than a month after the CDC dropped its program tracking cruise ships. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
USA Radio News.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Jerome Corsi with me. We're talking about his incredible book, The Truth About Energy, Global Warming, and Climate Change. To learn more, go to drjeromecorsi.com. That's drjeromecorsi.com. Now, I want to highlight this because it's really important. This book is not only a great read, it just brings you in. You just go, what? Wow. It's like a lot of his other books. He's written 25 plus books, folks. So he knows what he's doing. But listen carefully to this because this is really important. Not only is this book a great read, but it's a scientific treasure trove where you can look up things. So when you're discussing this with people, you can literally deliver facts on the spot. Listen to this. Each chapter, folks, summarizes the topics covered in a bolded list of items below the chapter number on the first page of each chapter. Do you see how incredible that becomes in terms of turning this into an ability to look up and pull up facts on a given topic? It is amazing, Dr. Kersey.
Well, thank you very much, Sam. I really admire how you've studied this book and understand it. You're a great interview. You may be doing the best interview so far on the book altogether.
Yeah, Liberty Roundtable Live, people.
I'll tell you. Anyway, that's really important, though.
That's really important, though, this ability to be able to look up things, though, because guys read it, and I generally understand, but I can't just pull all the facts. There's so many of them. They're so detailed and so... for example, when you look at time, geological time, it changes the whole discussion. When you look at, for example, sun heats Earth, for example, and talk about the weather thermometer and talk about how it works, the importance of clouds and ocean change. And okay, let's start there.
Let's start with the sun, because that's the key element. You know, I constantly say the big yellow thing up there in the sky is not a tree ornament. It's not the global warmers want you to think it's unimportant. Carbon dioxide is important. Well, the Russian scientists, and I've met some of these scientists in international meetings, understand that the sun is the primary factor of the light and heat on Earth. Basically, that when there's minimal sunspot activity, which is another thing, the glacial periods occur because the Earth on this elliptical orbit gets farther away from the sun, like an egg shape. That every 100,000 years, the Earth is at its most egg-shaped, and that's when we have the ice cycles, the glacial cycles. But also sometimes the Earth gets lazy. So, for instance, what the Russian scientists did is they studied the sunspot activity between 1650 and 1750. Okay, so that's like, you know, 300 years ago that it ended. They call this the Maunder Minimum, because in that time the sun was lazy. It had very few sunspots, and that coincided with what they call a little ice age that occurred as this little period of time. It was an ice age. A little period of time is maybe 25,000 years, 4.6 billion years of life's history. That's a microsecond. But in Earth's time, the little ice age with a lazy sun ended when Napoleon's troops froze coming out of Moscow, or when you see Washington crossing the Delaware in his boats. There's big ice flows in the Delaware where they're not there now. The Delaware doesn't freeze over like that anymore. I live near the Delaware River. But in Washington's time, with a little ice age and a lazy sun, it froze over. And moreover, what these Russian scientists did is that they took ice core data, which is they drilled down into the ice core, and they get data over the past 420,000 years by studying the ice. They go down almost 4,000 meters, which is a lot of miles down into the ice. And what they have proven is the carbon dioxide increases when the Earth gets warming, but it's after the Earth starts warming. It doesn't cause the Earth's warming. It occurs after the Earth starts warming. The sun is the major driver of ice ages and of warming periods. And right now we're in an interglacial warming period, which is going to end. That might not end for another 25,000 years, but we ought to enjoy the fact that the Earth is warmer. We exhale carbon dioxide. Plants eat carbon dioxide. Plants exude oxygen. This is a cycle. We wouldn't be able to have life on the planet, certainly not ours, without carbon dioxide. And it's a very, very small percentage of the atmosphere. Yes, it's a greenhouse gas, but water vapor, which is much more abundant, is 70% of all greenhouse gases, and accounts for 90% of the greenhouse gas effect, not carbon dioxide. Climate is controlled by various feedback effects. Clouds, when the Earth gets warm, the sun, the ocean currents exude more water vapor. Clouds form. The clouds then block the incoming infrared rays from the sun and cools the Earth. It's a very complex system. And the Earth has kind of a thermometer, which means that when the Earth at the equator gets hot and the Earth distributes whatever heat there is to the North Pole and South Pole and to the upper atmosphere, it's the second law of thermodynamics, entropy. Where there's heat, it gets moved around to where there's less heat. That's what the Earth weather's about. It's a good thing we have it. It includes storms and tornadoes and everything else, because sometimes the movement of this heat gets dramatic. And that's not going to stop, because that's part of how Earth functions. You're being lied to say that we are pumping carbon dioxide into the Earth. It never has happened before. Absolute nonsense. This is the least period of time of carbon dioxide concentration in the atmosphere, over 4.6 billion years. The Earth is 4.6 billion years was a lot warmer. It was a planet no one could live on for 80% of its environment. We've been here 10 million years. As far as the Earth is concerned, we're just the latest creatures running around on the surface of the planet. The dinosaurs were here for 100,000 years, and various cataclysms wiped them out. and the Earth is not adjusting its temperature to make us live properly, and our carbon dioxide emitted into the atmosphere is negligible in terms of the massive impacts that really determine Earth's temperature and temperature changes.
Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line that we're getting at here is, look, the world has a thermometer, and that is governed by a very complicated but documentable series of patterns, I would say ordained by God. But the Russian scientific evidence highlights that the sun is the major driving factor of Earth's changes. And you know what? The Earth's thermometer works with the sun and the rotation of the Earth, and that relating to ocean patterns and cloud cover. Okay? The sun heats the Earth. The weather thermometer matters. But what they're doing is ignoring the importance of clouds. What they're doing is ignoring all these cyclical realities, and they're literally peddling a term we're going to call climate gate, Dr. Corsi.
That's right. Climate change is, you know, the idea that we are causing the weather catastrophes like floods, and it's very hot in Arizona this year. We have a massive flood in London or Paris or somewhere where it doesn't usually flood. The truth is, these kinds of things happen all the time, and there's no more today than there ever was. In the 1930s, we had more heat in the United States, and drought covered the entire Middle West. The Dust Bowl was formed, and people said, oh, the world's ending. No, the world is not ending. God made, and I agree, God made this earth so that everything here can be used properly. The admonition in the Bible was go forth and prosper, multiply. Didn't say kill your babies and reduce the population to half, lie to everybody, deprive them of the cheap energy that's abundantly available, that God says, I gave you the hydrocarbon fuels, and it will not exhaust. You'll have other alternatives before you run out of that. And you'll never probably run out of it, because the earth is a little engine that makes hydrocarbon fuels to keep you going. And if we demonize all this, and I mean, and Sam, I mean in the sense of Satan. I mean, this is Marxism now at its most evil, which is trying to play on your mind. You know, and people are suspect to this. Hitler was right. Big lies are easier to tell. In the Middle Ages, everybody thought women were possessed by the devil, and they started burning them at the stake. Well, how many women who had nothing to do with Satanism were burned because somebody didn't like them? And that absolute mad phenomenon went on the earth for a long time. And again, we're doing it again. This is a folly. This is a phase. It's a craze. It's insanity. Because these Marxists hate people. They're telling you that the air you exhale is noxious. That if there were fewer of us around, we ate less. If there were, this would be a great place except for the people. And the globalists like Bill Gates, who's buying up the farmland and depriving everybody of their food, or the World Economic Forum that sides with China to do all things China does, they want to eliminate population. They never want to eliminate themselves. They want to eliminate you and me.
And ladies and gentlemen, if cows would quit farting and if people would quit burping, then the problem would be solved. Now, that's a simplistic mock of their agenda. But folks, the climate gate agenda is where true believers literally falsify data. They create a chaos theory of climate, which is absolutely scientifically provable to be absolutely bogus. It's been debunked in your book, Doctor.
Yeah, well, the real chaos theory is mathematics, and what a very brilliant weather science, a guy named Lorenz, proved. He had a model running one of these climate models predicting, you know, like we're going to all want a little bit more carbon dioxide, this much more heat. That's a climate model. Well, Lorenz went and had a cup of coffee one day. He rounded off the numbers in his model and came back, and he was getting wildly different conclusions. The mathematics in these, if you can't measure something precisely, and by the way, you can't measure anything on Earth precisely. Pi, the relationship between a diameter and the circumference of a circle, is an irrational number. It's 3 point, and it's got decimals to infinity afterwards. It's not a precise number. So our climate models are biased, and they don't work. And so what the Earth is it's a system that has a very dynamic climate. You can't predict it more than maybe a day in advance. Weather predictions are all... You know, they get pretty good. They can say, well, we think it's going to do this over the next couple of days. Well, the best weather prediction of today is what it did yesterday. And by the way, the Earth has a tilt to it. We get four seasons, and climate change is called summer, winter, spring, and fall. That's climate change. And it's been that way forever. Sometimes the Earth has less sun, and we go through a glacier period that could last hundreds of thousands of years. And at that time, the Earth doesn't do a very good job of distributing heat because there isn't very much. The sun is not as active. The dinosaur five extinction, the dinosaurs died, massive asteroids hit, huge volcanic activity. Take a look at the rim, the Pacific Rim. That's where the volcanoes are. The Pacific Ocean is still expanding. That rim of volcanoes could go for 1,000 years. It could throw so much sulfur dioxide into the atmosphere that no one could live on the planet that depended upon photosynthesis or plants. It could happen. We could have another asteroid hit. NASA's finding one that comes by all the time near Earth, and we can't stop it. These are the things that affect Earth. It's not a stable place to live, unfortunately. It's got lots of massive changes. But we are not all going to die because there's a few more parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere when it's the lowest it's ever been in Earth's history.
That's so they really take a page out of Satan's playbook, yes. Dr. Corsi. What they do is they tell you a lot of truth with then these twisted lies at the end. Let me give you an example from a news headline. July 2022 was the third hottest July on record in U.S. history. It's a lie. Well, there's no proof.
As I say, the 30s were much warmer than today. That data is still available on NOAA and the other government websites. They haven't taken it down yet. They will take it down once I start pointing it out. But you can go there and you can see that the 30s were warmer and more dust bowls, more droughts than today. In human history, we've had many different fundamental changes. The global warmers, because they want you to believe that the Earth has been a stable place and changes. The Earth was no fluctuations in temperature, but all the carbon dioxide was perfectly in harmony being absorbed by the Earth as it was produced, except for the Industrial Revolution. We came along, we started burning hydrocarbon fuels, we're throwing carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, that's causing global warming because it's a greenhouse gas. All nonsense. To make that data work, they have to erase statistically the medieval warming period, which happened in about the 1300s, they have to erase the Little Ice Age, which lasted about 25,000 years and didn't end until Washington crossed the Delaware. Now they have to erase the Maunder Minimum, which occurred as the sun going inactive during the Little Ice Age. They have to make it all statistically normalized so suddenly, like a hockey stick. That's what Michael Mann did. The blaze, it was all very stable. Then the Industrial Revolution came on. People came around. They started burning hydrocarbon fuels. And suddenly we have unprecedented hot. It's nonsense. I mean, ask the dinosaurs. They were here for 100 million years, and they're gone. The dinosaurs didn't go because they were dropping feces all over the place and farting. They died because a massive comet hit, or volcanoes hitting, and the Earth expanded, they were too big to survive.
Their agenda, their panic, the sky is falling, dishonest, lack of science, facts, agenda, also denies God's ability. When we talk about this chaos theory or some of these things, there's mathematics involved, I agree, and all that, but they want you to believe that the chaos is going to affect you to the point where they've got to control your life or else we'll all die. And the lie is this idea that there's not a God in charge. I submit to you that, yes, there's been crazy events. This earth is not a stable place. This earth is to test us all, but God's still in charge. And it's really the denial of God being in charge. And it's the promotion of this agenda that it's a godless reality and they somehow are put over us to regulate and control us. It really smacks of socialism and communism and all the roads that lead to tyranny, Doctor.
Sam, you're exactly right. It's a replay of the Garden of Eden. Satan comes along and says, God's dead. I'm in charge. Just eat this apple. You know what God knows. follow me, we can make this place perfect. God made it messed up, that's why he's gone. I'm here, we'll make it fine. It's the ability of men to be deceived, human beings to be deceived, and the devil, the Bill Gateses, the World Economic Forum, says, just let us have power, we will make this place perfect. Well, we're going to make this place perfect by enslaving and killing you. And it's totalitarianism. We're going to watch everything you think. We're going to have your thermostat so we can turn off your electricity if you use too much. We decide to give you any at all. We're turn off your bank account. We're not going to let you have any currency. You can't put cash in your hand. We're going to take away gold eventually.
But it's because we love you and care about you, don't you know?
But we want you to survive. If we left you to yourselves, because, you know, you're so evil and stupid, you would all die. So just follow us, it'll be perfect, and you'll live. That's Satan in the Garden of Eden. And it's Bill Gates, and it's Klaus Schwab, and the World Economic Forum. And I show you how the environmentalists, which started out just saying, you know, let's get rid of pollution, which was, you know, let's be good keepers of the earth, got taken over by the first by the Malthusians, there's too many people, let's kill them, and then the Marxists, by the time AOC, Alexandria or Ocasio-Cortez gets into it, she says, this is Marxism, this is super Marxism, we can convince people that carbon dioxide is evil, we'll get rid of hydrocarbon fuels, that's the way we'll destroy capitalism, finally we'll get rid of this capitalism, which is producing too much wealth on the earth and allowing too many people to be born.
Ladies and gentlemen, the sinister agenda is absolutely debunked in Dr. Jerome Corsi's incredible latest book. You want a guide to help you understand this? Do you want a way to help you debate anybody about it and have the facts on your side, have the historical context, have geological time understanding as your guide? That's what you can do with this book, ladies and gentlemen. You got the scientific evidence. You got each chapter summarized. You've got the first four chapters dealing with the politics of this thing. Chapters 5 through 8 are the science that drives the core of the book, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, it is something to behold. Dr. Corsi, I'm pretty educated, so I brought up a lot of great stuff and pulled out as much as I can. But you know what? I don't know everything. What, as you wrote the book, did you discover, or what in the book do you think we need to highlight that I might have missed?
Well, first of all, you get an A+ advanced to the graduate course. You did extremely. I'm very impressed with your having read the book and your knowledge of it and understanding of it. It's superb. Thank you. Best interview so far in understanding the book. The end of the book is about the economics, and it shows you how these renewable fuels not only don't work, they can't work. I make the point very simply. Let's say you had a solar battery, solar power, the size of a flashlight, and it would power a city. We'd all use it. Sure, bring it on. That sounds great. Let's do it. Well, it's just not that powerful, for the sun doesn't shine all the time. The solar power translated into photovoltaic electricity, first of all, loses energy by that transfer. Hydrocarbon fuels, you just combust. They're very powerful. They're energy equivalent measured in joules, which is a scientific measure of energy. It's very powerful, whereas the solar and wind are much less powerful. They lose in being captured. They lose energy in being captured, and then they lose energy in being stored. They have to be stored in batteries. And so by the time you're expending the solar and wind, it is not a solar battery that'll power a city. It's a field the size of a state that's required to power a city like L.A., and on that scale, it doesn't work. Obama had these huge desert fields of solar power, and they failed because the economics of it don't work. Whereas they have to demonize hydrocarbon fuels, tell you you're running out of oil, it's all dinosaurs that created it, or plankton or old organic material, which is nonsense. We don't run out of it. We'll probably never run out of it. And we are able to make alternatives that will come in the future, but they will not be solar and they will not be wind with the current technology. They don't work. In fact, the global warmers, as I end this book, say they know that. That's why they want you to use them, and they're trying to convince you through these lies. And by the way, the scientists for the UN, the Intergovernmental Policy Committee on Climate Change, which propagates all this nonsense, they're very good scientists, but they're politically twisted, so they twist the science. I mean, there's just enough science to kind of make sense. And the equations and everything, these sound kind of right until you know the science yourself. Then you can see these guys are intentionally twisting the science and lying, and they know it.
And they know it, but they believe that there's a greater cause. It's kind of like if you're working for the government and you believe somehow you're saving America. A lot of soldiers go out and believe that, and they come back and go, hey, I was duped. This is bogus. It's a lot like that. Yes, the idea to love America is a genuine good goal. The problem is that's the guise for their agenda. Well, the same thing with science. Hey, everybody wants to care for the earth. God said we should be stewards of it. Makes sense, right? Well, the problem is they have a different agenda under the cover of this dishonest manipulation. And if you don't know the science, you tend to trust the experts. That's the big mistake, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Kersey, before the end of the hour, do you think we expose them and we stop this nonsense? Or do you think they just sell us down the river and we go this way? What do you think is going to happen? At some point, enough people will wake up if we keep at it, we hope, right?
Well, they will demon us and call us nutcases and marginalize us. That'll be their usual tactic because they can't defeat what we're saying. And by the way, don't underestimate Satan's intelligence. You know, he's going to use all the twisted facts. Satan is not an atheist. Satan hates God. He knows he exists. He'll tell you God doesn't exist because he wants you to think he's in charge. He'll tell you lies and make your lies sound like you'll only do well if you listen to him. That's what the Bill Gateses tell you. That's what the globalists want you to believe. But the truth is, get out your Bible and read it. You know, go to 2 Chronicles 7:14, because I think that's going to be the solution. We better start praying, God asking forgiveness that we allowed, starting in 1940, God to be taken out of the schools. And now we've got people who don't know, can't tell you who a woman is on the Supreme Court. We've got transvestites teaching our children in kindergarten. You want to let the lunatics run the air? That's the end result of all these lies. They want you to turn off. Stop using hydrocarbon fuels, use energy that doesn't really work, solar and wind, and believe that they will be then by saving the world. If you don't do that, you're all going to die. It's complete satanic nonsense.
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth about energy, global warming, and climate change, exposing climate lies in an age of disinformation. You want to learn more, drjeromekersey.com. It's just drjeromekersey.com to learn more. And if you read some of these books, you will gain a collegiate education like you cannot imagine. You will be able to debate these thugs and expose their lies for what they are. You will become grounded in the understanding of real science, of true facts. And really, that then points us to solutions. The American people, under the capitalism idea, can literally build a better mousetrap. There's ways to deal with our energy, folks, but it's not the path, the primrose path of deception. They're leading us down by the nose and by force if they must. We can go a different direction, but it's going to take enough of us to wake up and understand and debate them toe-to-toe and literally stand for truth, which will make us free. Dr. Kersey, my friend, we'll have you back soon. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you very much. I truly appreciate it. God bless you and your audience.
There he goes, ladies and gentlemen, our dear friend, Dr. Jerome Kersey. They tried to indict him and failed. Thank the heavens for that, ladies and gentlemen. We all got to stand together. Sadly, or we hang separately, folks. And I don't mean that literally, I pray. I hope it's a figurative discussion. There you have it. 1 hour of hard-hitting talk radio at your fingertips. We need everyone to help us share this interview far and wide because Jerome Kersey brings truth to the table. He's absolutely a truth teller, and God bless him for his work. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, it's drjeromekersey.com. I'm Sam Bushman. God save the Republic of the United States of America.